Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast. My name is Monty Warden. My guest today is Chiara Meloni, who's smiling very broadly at me. Chiara works for the Tenute Olbios, which is in the northernmost part of Sardinia, in the region of Gallura. Welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so let's get a little bit about, well, first of all, what's your role in the estate? Are you part of the family or are you just a lowly employee?
Yes, I'm not part of the family. I'm working with Tenute Olbio since a few years now and I take care of the export sales.
And where are you from in Sardinia?
I'm from Sassari, which is about 1 hour driving from Olbia, still in the north side.
Okay, so you're a
northern island, yeah.
Okay, so just tell me a little bit about the area in general. This is known a lot for its tourism, obviously.
Yes, it's known, Olbia, it's very close to the Costa Smeralda, which is known worldwide for the turquoise water, for the amazing beach, but Sardinia in general, everywhere is very famous for the coast, but there is also a lot to see on the inside of the island.
It's also famous for its Aragosta as well,
for
isn't
Aragosta
it?
For Aragosta as
which
well.
Which is, in English?
Lobster.
So, I mean, does that help the fact that the winery is in a touristic area, or is it a hindrance? I mean, do you get day trippers coming, or...?
It's actually an advantage, because people are mainly coming, or they used to come mainly for, like, the holiday season, but now it's attracting a lot of the wine and food lover, because there is a lot to discover about the wine and food culture as well. But obviously, being on such a touristic place has been an advantage for us.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about the estate. How many hectares of land do you have and how many hectares of vineyards?
It's a 60 hectares vineyard. It's all on the sea level. It's all on the same area. It's basically...
So the altitude, sorry, roughly would be?
On the sea level.
Oh, right, so it's quite low then.
Yeah. We are literally like 1-2 kilometers away from the coast. So we can actually see Tavolara Island, which is just in front of us. And it's a sandy soil... made of granite, basically.
Decomposed granite.
Yes.
It sounds like a nice terroir, though.
Yeah, it's very nice terroir, and it's the, the ideal terroir for the Vermentino, which in Gallura is a Vermentino di Gallura DOCG, which is also the only DOCG wine we have in Sardinia. And
okay.
It's not by accident, because the Vermentino produced in Gallura is developing loads of minerality, salinity, and so it's producing wine with highly distinctive character, let's say.
So you make two wines under the DOCG, the Vermentino di Gallura DOCG,
We make two.
Half.
Two.
Three
no, we two make thirds. two Vermentino di Gallura DOCG.
Okay, so what are they called then? Let's do the first one, Lupus in Fabula. So what does that mean?
Lupus in Fabula means the wolf in the fairy tales and has got several connections. So first of all, Lupus in Fabula, it's a Latin expression that we use in Italian as the equivalent of speak of the devil when we are talking about someone and then this person suddenly appears. But it also refers to the story of the boy crying wolf because it's a little bit like the story of our wine, Lupus in Fabula.
So is that oaked or unoaked, that one?
It's unoaked.
So yeah. It's a fresh drinking,
so it's a Vermentino, vinified and aged entirely in stainless steel tank.
Okay, the next one is In Vino Veritas.
In Vino Veritas, it's actually Vermentino di Sardegna DOC, and it's also a Vermentino produced with grape from our own vineyard. In particular, we make a selection from the grapes coming from the oldest vines.
So this has a little bit more density compared to the Lupus in Fabula.
Yeah, it's a particular Vermentino. It's very evolved. It's actually Vermentino which is aged for 7 years prior to bottling.
7 years?
7 years, yeah.
So is it a dry wine or is it
It's a dry.
So is it sort of slightly oxidized or not?
Also, yeah. So it's
so what
late...
would you call that? What, is that a special word for that on Sardinia?
No, it's...
But is it aged in barrels that are topped up or is it aged in barrels that are not topped up? It doesn't have like a floor of yeast on the top?
it's aged in barley without topping.
So it's an oxidized style.
Yeah. Nice. We play with the control oxidation process.
So it's dry and it's very savory.
Yeah. And also it's a late harvest. It does overnight skin maceration, and then it's vinified in a stainless steel tank, and then the last 2 years, a small percentage does the control oxidation process in barrels.
So is that bottled as a vintage wine, or is it bottled as a blend, like a non-vintage, like a
vintage?
Like a
show. No, okay. it's a vintage. Yeah.
Okay. So how long in wood does it stay?
2 years, 24 months, but okay. Only a small percentage.
But so it's just like an oaky white wine then.
Yeah.
But you said it's got that oxidative.
Yeah.
Term.
Yeah. So let's say that since the oak is not a new oak, so the flavor of the oak is not too intense. It's just more for the exposure to the
air.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's very savory and with what you probably call tertiary aromas. No, that's not too technical.
Exactly.
What do you eat with that? Do you eat like some of your sheep's cheese, pecorino, or salami?
It definitely requires a specific food matching. Best combination is with blue cheese or very mature spicy cheese, or with botarga, for instance.
What is botarga?
Botarga is the fish roe, which is dry and preserved, and then either grated or sliced and served on its own or with pasta.
Okay, so you have one more white wine called Biso.
Biso is a Vermentino di Galura di OCG, but it's actually sparkling wine.
It's a fully sparkling, spumante.
Fully sparkling, spumante, metodo classico, classical method, entirely made in our own cellar.
You must have a very well-equipped cellar then to do that.
Yeah, it requires loads of space, so the cellar is growing year after year. So now we have increased a little bit the production, but it's obviously a wine which requires loads of space, loads of attention. I said maybe already it's a millesimato, it's a dosaggio zero.
So it's a zero dosed, dosed, and it's a single vintage or non-vintage, sorry?
Single vintage. Yeah.
Does it help the fact that you've got the area that you're in is incredibly well known for tourism, and you'll have people that are, it's got a luxury area for tourism, isn't it? So making this kind of wine is an indication of the area is quite well known for its wine and customers have got the money to pay for it. Is that true? I'm not saying it's like a jet set area, but it's not far off, is it?
Let's say that we are relying of course on our close area, but for instance we sell all around Sardinia, even in areas which are not so let's say posh, if you want to use this term. So because Sardinia, yeah, it's quite touristy, but there are all kind of tourists. So there are the tourists which are searching more the luxury, and tourists which are searching more the nature and the outdoor experience.
So what's your rough split in terms of exports and domestic market, roughly, in terms of either turnover or bottles?
Let's say 35% export at the moment, yeah.
The main export market is what, America?
Yes, we export in California, in Australia, in several European countries, Sweden, in Germany, in Switzerland. So Europe is quite well covered, yeah.
Okay, so what about other wines? Red wine?
Red wines. We make two red wines and one rosé wine. And for the red, we use two autochthonous grape variety, Canonau and Moristello.
Thought to have been Canonau Grenache,
Canonau
and Moristello is Moristello, I guess. Yeah,
yeah, it's like Moristello is scientifically Bovale, okay. But it's also known as Moristello or Bovaletto because it grows with smaller berries in our area.
And the name of the wine is?
One wine is Nessuno.
Which means nobody.
Nobody.
Why do you call it nobody?
Nobody, so nessuno. It refers to the character of Ulisse in the Odyssey.
Ulysses.
Yes.
Odyssey.
So there was, when the wine was presented and launched for the first time, there was a new book, which was from a Sardinian writer, which was highlighting how some of the landscape which were described in the Odyssey could refer to Sardinia. So it was sort of nice to use this character, the name of Nessuno, because actually it's quite a tricky character when he presents himself. He listens to the Cyclope and he presents himself as Nessuno. And when the Cyclope was hurt by Ulysses and he asked him who's done that, they say Nessuno, Nessuno. So this wine is also was presented like this, as a wine which presents himself quite in a humble way, but in the end it goes straight to the it's quite full body structure red wine. So it's
great. We've gone from Vermentino to Ulysses,
yeah,
and the Odyssey. And you have another red wine called, is it called Can Grande?
Can Grande.
So what does that, what does the name mean, and what's the blend?
So Can Grande dot 17, it reminds price and awards that Daniela, who's the owner and then winemaker, got at Vinitaly 2017. So she was awarded with the Premio Can Grande Benemerite della Viticoltura, which is an award prize which is given every year to one producer per region, and that something she got in 2017. So it's quite nice when you got this sort of awards, because you remember it on the first year, second year, and then the year passed and you sort of forget. So it was nice to sort of fix this this moment with the wine.
But was that the first vintage of Can Grande or not?
It was the first vintage. It's been presented this year.
But it was labelled as Can Grande when it was presented, because one of the entrances at Vinitaly, if anybody's been to Vinitaly, it's a little bit like an expo, a huge fair. One of the entrances is called Can Grande. People say, I'm a little bit lost, where do I go to get my ticket? And you have to go to the Can Grande entrance. So that's a bit of a coincidence, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a coincidence.
So what does Can Grande mean? Does it translate as it? I've always wondered what it means when I walk into Vinitaly. Can Grande
is a famous person of the Verona area.
Right, okay, so yeah. They've obviously chosen.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So we've done all the wines, yeah?
We have a rosé.
Okay,
as
let's
well.
Talk about the rosé. What's that called?
Rosé is called Cave, and this is a fantasy name, so it doesn't refer to anything.
All the names are fancy names,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah, they all have a sort of a history, but...
So tell us a little bit about this one, then.
So, Cave, it's a rosé wine of Canonau and Muristello grapes, 50% and 50%.
So I imagine that's bled off the red wine, yeah?
It's a rosé wine which is made with overnight skin maceration.
Okay.
So it's a macerated rosé, and it's called, in fact, it's a rosé di una notte.
Okay, rosé of one night.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's dry, is it?
It's dry.
Do you make did you get a big demand for that for the tourists as well or not?
No, actually, I mean, there is a big thing in our wineries that, so of course, we produce the wine for the market, but there is also a person, Daniela, the owner behind, and she really makes the wine that she likes to drink. So obviously, there is a higher demand for rosé at the moment, but this wine was already in progress since 2013 was the first vintage year that it was presented.
So overall, I mean, how are Sardinian producers in general, what are they targeting for exports? How big is the Italian market? And how big is the export market for Sardinian wines, if you know that? If you don't know, if it's just for your winery, you can just tell us just for your winery.
Well, I can tell you that for sure, like in Sardinia, we drink Sardinian wine most of the time. So there is a big market for Sardinian wine in Sardinia, and considering that in the summer the number of people increases, so it's a good market. But obviously we have to look at the foreign markets abroad. In Italy, we have a good market in Milano, in Rome, or in other areas like.
So, are those mainly restaurants or are they wine shops?
Both, yeah. Restaurants and wine shops, and then export. There is a higher demand at the moment for Sardinia wine, either in countries and in area where there is a good knowledge of Sardinia, like in Europe, for instance. It's easier to explain Sardinian markets to Sardinia wines, because they know already the territories. And then we go in areas like in Asia, where they don't know much about Sardinia. So,
but isn't that quite nice that you can explain?
Yeah, it's nice. It's a good challenge, and there is a higher demand for regional wine at the moment. So it's a good and positive trend for us.
Yeah, I imagine your wines are very food friendly as well, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay, so I want to say thanks to my guest today, Chiara Meloni from Tenute
Olbios.
From Sardinia, from the northern part of Sardinia, Gallura area, very beautiful area. Thanks for coming in and telling us about your wines and the family winery.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.